This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBole.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. Sometimes your brilliant startup idea needs a little kickstart, whether that's through a bootcamp for extra knowledge, an investor for extra funding, or a mentor for extra guidance. How do you find all those resources, though? I have Usha Perumal, CEO of startup incubation company Blueprinter Asia, and she's on the line with me today to discuss that and more. So thank you very much for joining me on the show today.
Hi, Christine. Thank you so much for inviting me to the show. So Blueprinter Asia Ventures is actually a startup incubation company based in Kuala Lumpur and Honolulu, Hawaii, that aims to optimize the incubation of startups in the blue economy, blue tech, clean tech regions, and also sustainability sectors within the Southeast Asia and Asia-Pacific regions itself. So we focus on implementing ocean entrepreneurship boot camps, and also we have impact sustainability consulting programs, as well as startup investors program, whereby we connect and also strengthen the startup ecosystem within the Asia-Pacific regions itself.
Yeah. Fantastic. And so tell me a little bit about how Blueprinter came to be.
So Blueprinter started off in the year of 2020, so whereby it was founded by six of Wisely Fellows. And Wisely is actually by it's called Young Southeast Asia Leadership Initiative Program, which is founded by Barack Obama in the year of 1973. So what do we do is basically that we came up in this idea where it was urged by the State of Department and also the East-West Center, which is a research institute based in Hawaii. So it was about like catalyzing the startup frameworks or initiatives in the Southeast Asia region. So that's why we came up with this idea of an initiative of Blueprinter. And then like today, we are called Blueprinter Asia Ventures, an incubation company by itself.
Right. Yeah. So this started from essentially a young leaders program that is based in Hawaii, which is why there is also the base in Honolulu for you guys as well.
Correct. Exactly.
All right. Now, tell me a little bit about this, because, you know, I think for a lot of people who have these ideas, I mean, we look at shows like Shark Tank, for example, right? Sometimes you really need that extra push. So tell me a little bit about the benefits for an aspiring entrepreneur in joining a startup incubator.
Right. One of the benefits of joining a startup incubator program is you'll definitely gain mentorship benefits, peer-to-peer mentorship benefits. So for our program, you'll gain like benefits of peer-to-peer mentorships and also network resources. And how do you want to like scale from an ideation stage to becoming a scalable solution itself? So from a very ideation level stage, and you're getting into a proof of concept model. So that's how it works. So for per se, like a bootcamp model, it's like for 3 days weekend model. So that three days weekend model where we incubate those ideas to become of like where levels you learn about social entrepreneurship, where you learn about incubation level stages and how do you want to scale into the market, and also understanding what is the market projections and understanding how to build a sustainable business model itself in your market, in your target market.
All right. So, you know, joining a startup incubator, as you mentioned, is all about growing that initial idea from its inception into something a little bit more, I guess, secure and a little bit more structured. So what experience did you have with entrepreneurship before this, if any?
Yeah. So the very beginning, starting off, I think I had the very, I'm very thankful for an opportunity where I started off at the age of 17 years old. So I was very exposed to entrepreneurship programs. So the first entrepreneurship program that I was exposed to is called Global Startup Youth Malaysia. So that is founded by the Startup Malaysia organization that is founded by Dash Dakshinamurthy. So I would say that was one of the first exposure to entrepreneurship scene itself. Mm-hmm. And that inspired me and also gave me this sort of inspiration to constantly trying to make a change, constantly trying to connect the dots between the startups. And also that I have founded two startups within like from the age of 17 years old. So it's like one is a clean tech startup called Fluxer, and then the other one is Carbon Tree. So both of this. So ever since then, I finally realized that it's, you know, there's many startups that are working in silos. So it's not about working in silos. It's coming up together, meaning a collaborative effort in one system trying to make a change and make an impact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, as you mentioned earlier, Blueprinter focuses specifically on startups that have something to do with ocean sustainability, right? Why that area specifically?
So that area specifically, because we realized that in Asia Pacific itself, it's actually 60% of world population situated in Southeast Asia region, Asia Pacific region, and that we face water security issues, we face water sanitation issues due to Anthropocene age, whereby humans dominate the world today. And then another part of it is because over 3 billion people around the world rely on oceans for livelihoods. Mm. So this is one of the very important reasons why we believe that it's really important to address the ocean issues and trying to bring in resources to help the community thrive and solve the coastal community issues.
Yep. Mm, all right. So can you give us an example of some of the startups that have worked with you so far?
Right. Some of the startups actually worked in their ideation level stages. So ones that have worked with us is called like Trixie, and it's from Philippines. And also we have Malaysian-based startups. It's working in the field of marine biodiversity. Mm-hmm. So what they do is like those graduated startups from the 2021 bootcamp is they implement AI in data into actually solving marine biodiversity issues. So for an example that I can say is about capturing coral reefs in the marine ecosystem and trying to actually promote like a VR technology in solving tourism issues and trying to reduce human interference to the oceans. That's one. And then the other one is water sanitation, solving water sanitation issues that is based in India. So this is they implement an AI mangrove model to clean the river, to actually clean the lakes in order to promote a more purified water system and also for a more better sustainable living system. Yeah.
Fantastic. And now, you know, not every startup necessarily will fit a startup incubator program necessarily. And for you guys as well, you're very focused on a specific niche area as well. So tell me a little bit about the vetting process when people come to you for ideas and how you select the ideas that you will eventually incubate.
So eventually what happens is they come to us, it's true by process of like we have an application form ready for them to get into the process, and those people, they come in as individual applicants applying for it. So they definitely have to go through certain criteria where they will have to be aged within 18 to 35 years old, and they will have to be originated from countries, Asia Pacific countries, and also trying to solve Southeast Asia problems that revolves about ocean sustainability. Mm-hmm. And they will have to come in ideation stages. So what will happen technically is like we group of blueprinter people, our blueprinter community. So we source them and then we track them and also try to actually see where this fits into the program itself. And if they are able to completely participate in the 3 days bootcamp program and to deliver a proof of concept model at the end of the day and implement these solutions in their local communities. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, are there any sort of qualifications or any sorts of traits that you specifically look for in an idea that you think is going to be successful?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the very important traits that we look into is feasibility model of it, and also besides how much they're asking for, is definitely one of the very important core is the passion and the people, the team itself. So that is one also where we look for, we vet for. So these are basically the criteria where we look for and we find in those startups in order to scale them forward.
Mm-hmm. For entrepreneurs out there that are, you know, looking to pitch in any way, really, whether it is to a startup incubator program or, you know, perhaps to an investor or anything like that, what would be some, you know, tips or, you know, suggestions or improvements that you would have for them to, you know, in that situation?
Yeah. So one of the very important improvements I would say is like know what you really pitch and definitely know your model really well. And know your people, your target customers. So very often that you will you'll fall in love with your solution and you will not understand what causes the problem of it, what is actually the core problem. So when you fall in love with the solution, you tend to actually be very sidelined, very projected in a way that I'm going to do this and it's going to be this, but you don't understand there are different disturbances, there are different scenarios that comes along the picture that you will have to pivot in one day or one circumstance. So understanding your core problem, understanding who your target customers are, is very important to knowing if this will be a very feasible model in the long term, and having a projection of a pipeline forward. Mm. And also when you're pitching to a pool of people, knowing what they would want from your end. That's a very important question to also note when you are doing it. Yeah. Mm.
And, you know, on the flip side of things, what questions do you wish, or what ideas do you wish that some of these startups would ask you?
Right. So one of the questions that they would ask is definitely in terms of who are the right people that we can approach in terms of now we have a solution ready, and we have joined the bootcamp program of Bluepreneur. And what's next? So the next thing that happens is like they will be funneled into an acceleration program that is by a partners network. Mm-hmm. But besides then this, like usually that they would ask in terms is, usually it's always the funding process of it. And besides the funding is in terms of how do we navigate along the space, because they have got not much experience in the entrepreneurship field itself. So these are the type of questions that they would usually ask us. Yep.
All right, fantastic. We're going to take a short break for some messages, but after that, I will continue speaking to Usha, who is the CEO of startup incubation company Bluepreneur Asia, all about how they create relationships with the startup resources as well as some of the programs that they offer. So do stay tuned to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Build Fairer Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. And on the line with me today, I have Usha Perumal, CEO of startup incubation company Bluepreneur Asia. Now, they focus specifically on incubating startup ideas all surrounding ocean sustainability. And before the break, we talked a little bit about the benefits of joining a startup incubator, as well as how they vet these startups that come to them. So now let's talk a little bit about the kinds of programs that you offer, because there's more than one way to support a startup idea, right? So tell me about that.
All right. So the programs that we offer besides the bootcamp program is called Startup Investors Program. So basically, the model of the Startup Investors Program is about bringing a pool of startups that are solving in the regions of sustainability issues in terms of ESG issues, in terms of supply chains, in terms of also about oceans and as well as clean energy ecosystems. So we bring these startups into this environment, which is Bluepreneur Investor Startups Relations Program, and then they will pitch their solutions and their products, what they do in the market space and stuff, to a group of investors that are impact investors and VCs who they're actually looking to raise their funds, and also to primarily is about raising funds. Besides and that, we also have Impact Consultancy Program. So Impact Consultancy Program is about having a group of youths, so whereby we target graduate youths and we connect them with sustainability consultants. So we have a partner consulting network, so whereby they will coach and train these youths with a timeline of 2 to 3 weeks, and then these youths will gain the expertise and a level of assisting in order to actually assist the organizations, eco businesses, social enterprises and startups in order to optimize their impact sustainability metrics, and about social procurement, about ESGs.
So it's very much so an end-to-end approach here. Not only do you have that sort of brainstorming period of time, but you also have, you know, that access to pitching to investors, and then also you have, you know, that extra support afterwards with the mentorship programs and those programs that involve collaborating with other companies that already are in this space.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the people that you know, on the other side of things, the experts that you work with. How did you create these relationships, especially since you guys are a relatively young company?
Yep. So how do we create this expertise? That's a very good question. So like beginning with my experience with entrepreneurship scene itself, like I guess it's about building a network of people and understanding that who is able to actually contribute the best impact towards Bluepreneur programs and also towards startups itself, who's really passionate. So these are the people that we go for, and also these are the people that have been very supportive from the very beginning. And some of the very supportive networks that we have is the U.S. State of Department, Wisely, East West Center, and also EcoBusiness and New Energy Nexus and a few other partner companies to be named. So these are the people that are with the same, we have the like-minded vision in order to actually scale forward startups in the Asia-Pacific ecosystem itself. Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, of course, as a business, I do have to ask, how is it actually that you generate revenue from any of this?
Right. So how do you generate revenue? So one of the ways is by through sponsorship, of course. That's one of the ways. And then the other one is through the impact consultancy program. And of course, it's the startup investors program, whereby once the startups actually raise funds, so we'll get about 4% of stakes from an equity percentage stake from these startups. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you do have a percentage that you do take once these ideas have been incubated, basically.
Correct. Exactly.
Got it. And since your inception, are you breaking even or even making a profit yet?
So we are making a tiny bit of profit, of course, but we are still experimenting in the space of in projecting about the other programs. Mm-hmm. That's what we are doing. And about break even yet, we are moving forward towards achieving that. But I would say starting off as an incubation and an accelerator program, we can name a very few, really big accelerator programs in Malaysia or Southeast Asia. Beginning stage, it's always about building a very strong support ecosystem for the startups itself. It's not often about making money in the space of accelerator programs, in the space of running incubation programs. It's about having a strong network and establishing it before even, before even trying to actually move into the radar of breaking even. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Now, obviously, you started in 2020 and then the pandemic happened, right? And you also work, with an internationally based team. So tell me a little bit about how the pandemic affected Bluepreneur.
So it definitely affected Bluepreneur in the space of, because all of us are virtually situated and we virtually communicate to each other, like our founding teams and so founding people, partners. So most of the interactions is happening behind the screens, and that's like because of the pandemic itself. And when it comes to that, I would say the very important lesson that you have to learn is about, as a founder of any company or any businesses, it's about managing expectations and clearly communicating your expectations to your founding members and also to your people about these are your goals and these are your KPIs that you want to achieve within this specific timeline, and how each and every team members are bringing their core values and how they're working together as one system to achieve that KPI. But most often than times, like, you cannot study what is going through in the minds of those people, your team. It's important to also sense the empathy and also to be an empathetic leader in that space itself, because the pandemic is already putting out like a mental stress issue to everyone here. And I guess it has shed an important light on how to also focus on your business and also focus on your people. I think that was one of the challenges that we have learned. Mm-hmm. And then the other aspects in terms of startups itself, we learned that in the pandemic that they suffered. Some of them, they suffered a lot, because one is they're not sure who are the people that they should strategically reach out to and how to reach out to and what are the infrastructure of resources that they should get. And those startups, I would say, mostly that's affecting is the Asia-Pacific ecosystem itself. Mm. So that's why we feel that there's a lot of abundance of opportunities that we can tap into, and that is the Asia-Pacific market space itself. Yeah.
Got it. And, on the flip side of things, right, the pandemic also shed a lot of light on the environment and sustainability issues as a whole. There has been a lot of talk about, for example, our use of disposable products has increased when it comes to, masks and takeaway containers and all that stuff. There was a sort of general internet consensus during the pandemic when everyone was staying at home that, the environment was being given a chance to heal, that, airplanes weren't taking flight, so fossil fuels were sort of being used less, and no cars on the road, all that stuff, right? How, in your mind, do you think the pandemic changed or affected the conversation surrounding sustainability as a whole?
When it comes to sustainability, I guess the pandemic has shifted our minds into being more proactive and being more sensitive towards the climate itself, because we are now experiencing climate change for real. Because we used to be talking about like, this is where we're heading. Like if we don't hit the benchmark of like 1.5 Celsius, we don't maintain there. If we hit 2.2 Celsius or 3 Celsius, we are going to suffer. We are going to, you know, but that's what we're experiencing right now. And in the COP26 event, so we have heard leaders and also very important people speak about how is it important that we come together and mitigate the risk of climate change. I guess speaking to you, Christine, about this, I feel that it did actually change the conversations of how we have about climate change, definitely, because when we're in the state of pandemic, we're actually in the state of like reflecting about things. And then we know, and as what you say, like we say the environment, the earth is healing, but sometimes it's not really, because brands, businesses and corporate companies still struggle to make sustainable decisions in their supply chains and their ESG frameworks.
Fantastic. So all right, so now with all that in mind, you know, as lockdowns are slowly lifting, as borders are slowly reopening, what are the goals and plans for the future of Blueprinteur?
So, like, while the lockdowns are all easing, we definitely plan to actually, for right now, we are formulating the base across Southeast Asia and Asia Pacific region. So that's with having vertical integrations with a group of partner networks and also having a strong network with a few other bunch of partner networks itself. And besides that, we have future plans of moving Blueprinteur to strategically United States and all of that. So that is by actually targeting energy companies and working with them closely, and also the local councils of Malaysia. Yeah. So because we believe that it's about public-private partnerships. So you can't just work on private partnerships alone to actually solve a problem, especially if that involves an environment problem, or if that you want to change a pressing problem, you want to solve a pressing problem that is by true value creation of startups. So that often revolves about public-private partnerships.
Right. So basically, it's expansion and finding a bigger public platform to speak from.
Correct.
Yep. Got it. Well, thank you very much, Usha, for sharing all about Blueprinteur Asia Ventures with me today.
Thank you. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you for having me on the call today. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and I've been speaking to Usha Paramal, CEO of startup incubation company Blueprinteur Asia, all about the company and the programs that they offer. If you missed any of today's conversation, you can go ahead and download our app that's available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. You can also head over to bfm.my to download and listen to the podcast. This is BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with bossbelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.